You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
The following is a paid program. This program may contain adult themes and nudity, and you can never go wrong with that. Speaking of always being right, views expressed on this program are those of life-experienced mechanics. Continued listening may cause addiction and, in rare cases, a rash. Discretion is advised.
Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Come on.
Okay, Al. Oh, you're not in the studio. Good morning. It's Dave's Corner Garage coming to you live and clear from beautiful downtown Toronto. We got a great show for you today, a great lineup. Brian Max is in the studio with us. He's covering for Al. Brian is a race car driver champion. He is an author. He's been on radio, television, his own website. We'll talk about that later. Greg McPherson is going to be joining us. Greg is with the Emotion Auto Show. That's been around the city since the 50s. Greg's is taking it over, and we got some really exciting news about that. And Greg has given us some tickets to give away. So if you're calling in and going to ask us some questions, Greg's going to make sure that you get some tickets to see the show. It's actually next week, 9th, 10th, 11th.
Eddie.
Yes. Hello. One more second there, Stevie.
Hello, Eddie.
Esso Golf. I used to got me on Esso gift cards for $100 worth of gas. We're going to be closing that off this weekend. So if you want some gasoline, give us a call. Go to davescornergarage.com, enter the contest, and we'll be choosing the winner on next week's show. Go ahead, Stevie Wonder.
I have never heard you so buttoned down and organized. What's going on with you? This is good.
I actually made some notes.
That's a first.
We have, as Dave was saying, we have, take it down, mark that down, put it on YouTube. Dave, organize. We do have a great show lined up. So Dave is down with one microphone. We've got Brian on the other one. We want to take your calls throughout the hour. Specifically, we're going to kick it off with some really cool news in the automotive industry that will hopefully affect you and you, in Beamsville and Orangeville, Toronto, Stony Creek, where there's no snow and it's sunny. Stick around. This is Canada's number one consumer automotive radio show, Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and here he is live and in semi-color. All right, Dave Redinger. How much coffee have you had this morning?
Actually, coffee and cereal. It was really great.
Wow, you're
actually healthy. Anyways, let's talk to Brian.
Go for it.
We should introduce Brian. He's a championship race car driver. I've seen him running in the Nissan series. That's a little series of one-make cars, right, Brian?
That's right. It's what we call a spec series. All the Nissan Micras are prepared identically, so it really comes down to the driver.
And you write for Autofocus, Autocar, and Motor. Those are British magazines.
Autocar is in the UK, and Motor is in Australia. And they love it when I review high-performance American cars. They love American Muscle down there.
Well, who doesn't? American Muscle really is working. 2019 GMC Sierra, which was just announced, and you actually saw that truck in Detroit.
Yeah, I was in Detroit the other day for the big reveal of the GMC Sierra. And what they're really doing with that Sierra is taking it upmarket with the Denali model. So the Denali is more like a Cadillac than anything else, and it's really pushing the truck market upscale, if you will.
So where does that go? I mean, there's an upscale as a Cadillac. I remember Lincoln did what was called a Blackburn or something.
I can't remember what that was, but yeah, there was a Lincoln pickup truck.
That's because he's way older than you.
Yeah, it could be. But they don't make the Cadillac truck anymore, and I mean, you can get a Cadillac SUV, but you can't get that Cadillac sort of pickup anymore, and Lincoln doesn't do one either. So that leaves some space for GMC to go upmarket. And you know, based on what I saw, the interior of the Sierra Denali is gorgeous.
How much is a truck like that worth?
You know what? They didn't announce pricing, but my guess is it's going to come in the top trim in the 80s.
Wow. So people are really using the truck as a car rather than a truck.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what they've done with the Sierra is they've brought in all of that great sort of secondary passive safety, like the lane keep assist and blind spot warning and front collision assist. They've brought all that into the pickup truck, as well as all the amazing parking features that modern cars have. So you can really use this truck as a daily driver.
Yeah, one of the features is the tailgate. Apparently, there's six different ways to open it, and it's got a middle portion that you can put your laptop on, and it's just out of this world. It's a really usable piece of equipment.
So what's it going to be like for tailgate parties if you go to a Buffalo Bills game? It'd be great.
Well, you know what? The best thing they said is that it supports almost 400 pounds.
Oh.
So it's really meant for tailgating.
That's at least three guys within our show.
That's right.
Two anyways.
Thank you, Dave. I was waiting for that one. But just to jump in, Davey boy, are we seeing more and more people who may be slightly over the age of 45 going from, you know what, I'm not going to buy this car, but I'm going to move towards a truck, basically. They don't even call them trucks. They're now like Sierras and Denalis. And
that's right.
Is that what's happening? Are you seeing in the marketplace?
You know, The truck segment has been really strong for a long, long time, and I think it continues to grow. It's not a massive growth sector these days, but a truck like that Denali, or there's the new Ram coming. It's all new Ram. The Ram has been a strong seller in Canada for a long, long time, and again, they do an upmarket premium finished version of the truck, and it makes it easy for people who are looking for a little bit of utility, whether they want to haul something, whether they want something that's got ground clearance and can go off-road or whatever it is, or tow a trailer. It's a great option rather than, you know, getting a conventional SUV or something
like
that.
You know, when we go up north once in a while to Parry Sound, it's once you get past sort of Barrie, all you see is trucks, F-150, Dodge Ram, the Denali, and they're all going up there, and the mileage is really getting better.
It certainly is. And, everybody's concerned about, all the truck makers are concerned about fuel consumption. So what they're doing there is they're taking hundreds of pounds out of them. So they're using special steels to construct them, lots of aluminum, carbon fiber in the case of this new Sierra. You can actually get a carbon fiber bed, which is a smart idea because it'll never rust. It's dent resistant. It's scratch resistant. It's a very clever thing. Now, you're going to pay for it, and they didn't announce what it was going to cost. But it's a very clever thing, and that's just another step into lightweighting these big vehicles.
You know, we might be seeing more and more of that carbon fiber construction because it's been around for years, and its only downfall is it's repairable. You can't really repair it properly. So if the bed gets damaged and it has to be fixed, they would just replace the whole thing. So that would drive the cost of repairs up, I imagine.
Yeah, you know, it certainly would. I think in case of a truck bed, unlike a structural body part, the bed is really not structural. So you can patch it. It'll never be the same. But if it does get damaged extensively, you got to replace the whole thing, of course.
See, and Dave's happy because he's a mechanic and he wants more repairs coming in.
That's right.
The longer they last, the more I can fix. You know, one of the things down in the States is they're mostly trucks. They've sort of shied away from cars and they're going into trucks and those mini crossovers. Lots of the crossovers around here. And because of that, the manufacturers are stopping building cars and starting to move into crossovers. And we see a lot of that going on. That new Jaguar is just out, that E.
Oh, the I-Pace. Yeah, that's I think this is going to be the first real Tesla competitor that we've seen. You know, it's a Jaguar, so it's got a real brand behind it, and it's a pretty vehicle, but it's been designed from the ground up as an electric. And it promises a whole lot of range and a whole lot of performance as well. So I think Tesla is going to now have to be a little concerned about conventional car makers coming to the electric market.
Yeah, I saw an article on somebody testing a BMW i8 the sports car, and they were having all kinds of issues with getting in and out of the thing, but not with its drivability or its heating system. Everything seemed to work properly.
Yeah, I tested one not long ago, and it's a lot of fun to drive, but not so much fun to get in and out of.
I want to see Dave get in and out of a Dodge Ram. Without a ladder.
That's not hard.
Without a ladder. That'll be good. Listen, stick around. If you got any questions about trucks in particular or anything with your car, Dave and Brian are here for the entire hour to take your call. We want to hear from you throughout the hour. Plus, later on, before the hour is up, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to go see Motorama, which is coming up next weekend at the International Center. So stick around. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. I like that music.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, it is. We put that together well. Just, 14 sessions? Yeah. We got it done. All right, spring maintenance. You want to talk about that right now?
Yeah, I got an email from a fellow by the name of Cliff from St. Catharines. I guess he was snowed in, so he couldn't talk.
That's my hometown.
Is that right?
That's right.
That used to be a GM town, or is it still a GM town?
I think it's no longer a GM town, but my father worked for General Motors his entire career. He was...
This showed, if you go and look at the Wikipedia or someplace like that,
yep.
It shows Motorama, you know, all these buses that were converted into showrooms were driven through the town and with all the latest cars, and they did a car show. There was a traveling car show.
So what's Cliff's question that he gave you?
Cliff's question was, spring is coming around. I noticed with my window down, I heard some sort of chit, 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 chit from the front brakes. Is that part of spring maintenance?
Brian's a little confused. What was the sound that it made?
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Chit, 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 chit.
Oh, right. We're not going to go into animals again with cats and mufflers, are we? No. So it's chit, what does chit, 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 chit mean? This I got to hear.
It means the brakes, the pads are dragging against the rotor. In other words, the brakes are seized. We use a lot of salt and corrosives on the road. Obviously, every time the crown is on, they talk about it. But the brake system is made out of steel pads and aluminum parts, like the calipers would be aluminum. And those two metals really love to stick together. So as part of his spring maintenance is going to be to take the brake system apart and clean it and lubricate it, probably change the fluid, and then put it back together.
What do you think, Brian?
You know what? I'm not a mechanic. That wasn't out. But you know what? I'm fortunate enough to, with my race cars, the brakes get done all the time. So I never hear those things. And, but you're absolutely right, Dave. I mean, the pad is steel and the caliper, of course, is aluminum. And over the winter, it just becomes a disaster in there, doesn't it, Dave?
Yeah. Another thing people don't realize is that brake fluid is called, and you got to ready for this, Steve, hygroscopic. So hygroscopic means it absorbs water. And because water is heavier than oil, or oil is lighter than water, it goes to the most expensive parts of the braking system. It actually drops to the bottom.
Okay, when you're talking about braking fluid, right? Brake fluid.
Yeah.
When we start going into these temperatures where it's going from like really like minus 15 and we start gradually creeping up to zero, plus two, does it impact on your fluids, on your brakes? Any
yes,
differently?
It does.
How so?
Well, no, it not. It's in fact that the fluid absorbs water. So when it starts to get 1 or 2 degrees, there's a lot of humidity basically that in the air, and the fluid will suck that down. So if it's 3 or 4 years old, if you're trailering, 3 or 4 years should be the time when you change out all the fluid and put in what's called a synthetic or a DOT-5. If you're not heavy driving, probably go another year. You can actually get it tested. There's a machine that you just dips it in, and it tells you how much moisture is in the fluid. So moisture kills it. Why? Because water boils at 200 degrees, and brake fluid should boil at 350 to 400 degrees.
So if it's not going, if it's starting to screech, do brakes tend to start making that sound, that high shrill that goes, there's $400, more so when you're changing temperatures, getting into the spring?
No. Well, yes, in a way, because the brake rotors tend to rust. And as you step on the brake, that metal embeds itself onto the pad, and now you have metal on metal. So many times you get out of the driveway and you hear like a groan when the first time you apply the brakes. That we call that morning sickness. But what it really is the metal is burning itself off.
A groan. So if you call that morning sickness, what does that mean?
The pad's not releasing.
I see.
The pad's actually stuck in position, and the only thing that releases the pad is that little runout that's on the rotor, sort of pushes them back and releases it. And when it's stuck in position, you hear the rotor hitting the pad, but it's not releasing the pressure.
Do you find that, you know, in your experience as a mechanic, do you find that when, you know, it gets to be around April, people are starting to change their tires from winter tires to the normal kind of tire, is there any difference as a salt, slush, impact on your brakes much, if at all?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. It really does. And, you know, sometimes it gets so bad you can't get the tire off. You're out there, some of them are out with a sledge trying to bang the tire off because it's the same thing. We have aluminum wheels and we have a steel hub, and they just glue themselves together with the salt water, and you got real problems.
Cool. Well, listen, spring, believe it or not, we've gotten rid of Wireton Willie and Punxsutawney Phil. They're just somewhere.
Thankfully, we have.
We should just get some virtual animal and say it looks better. But spring is coming, so if you got any questions about how to get your car, light truck, or even your boat ready for spring and summer, the lines are wide open. We'll take your calls throughout the hour. We have in studio Brian Max. Dave is on line 42 with camera 3, looking very nice today. And we have tickets to give away for Motorama, which is coming up at the International Center. So we'll take your calls. Stick around. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Just a reminder, this is the last day, well, we'll give you a couple more hours, to register to get a chance to win an Esso gift card that could be up to $100. That'll help you because gas just went up overnight magically to $1.27.
Wow.
Yeah, there's no wars going on, but they just pump it up, so to speak. So go to davescornergarage.com, look for the Esso logo, can't miss it, and register, and we'll announce the winner next week. Dave, we got some calls coming in. You want to talk a bit more about some racing in Canada? So, Jack, if you're on the line, stay there, and we'll get back to you in a few minutes. Over to you there, Mr. Redinger.
Okay, so I just finished reading this book about Lewis Hamilton and how he was developed by McLaren to become actually a robot race car driver. They taught him everything they knew, and obviously in his first season he almost won the world championship. In his second season he did. So talking about racing, what's going on here in Canada? You have the Nissan Series still going running?
Yeah, the Nissan Series, the Nissan Micro Cup Series is back for another 3 years, runs in Ontario and Quebec, and we've got 6 race weekends this year. First one, of course, is at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, I think, on Victoria Day weekend.
24th.
Yes. Yeah, and I think...
It's always the 24th, because your beer comes in a 2.4.
That's right, except, you know, as a racing driver, I don't drink that
stuff. Of course not. Not at least until after the tailgate party begins.
That's right.
Because nobody does that.
That's right. What else is coming up this year? Of course, I think the Honda Indy is going to be back in July. I think they've moved the date this year. I don't have the date in front of me, but they've moved it a little bit this year.
And they changed the car. The car now has a windshield.
Yeah, they've added a big windscreen, and thankfully it's, you know, it's clear. Unlike what they're doing in Formula One, it's a clear screen that's meant to protect the driver from, you know, large debris like a tire, for example.
Yeah, that did happen in Pocono. One of the drivers got hit in the head with a piece of car that crashed ahead of him and killed him.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time in motor racing.
I mean, why would they not have had windshields earlier?
That's a good question.
Manly thing, I guess.
A manly thing. Yeah, I'll just take
a manly thing.
Take a poke and post in my head. That's good.
Yeah, it's never good. But I mean, you know, there's a tradition in open wheel racing, and what's happened, of course, over the years is the drivers now sit lower in the car, so their heads are a little bit better protected, which, you know, as a racing driver, I would appreciate.
Dave, we got a couple calls in about spring maintenance. So if you want to get to that in a bit,
yeah, sure, go ahead.
You sure? I mean, it's your show. I don't want to steal it from you. Hey, don't say I heard that. We've got Jack on the line from Barrie. He's got a question about antifreeze. Jack, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I have a 2014 GM Spark, one of my cars, and you know, it's just wondering if I should be thinking of changing the antifreeze. Like, and do I have to use the Dextron or whatever it was that GM used? I know this is, I think it's a Kia, maybe. But...
It's actually a Daewoo. Built in Korea.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
GM bought the factory. Daewoo was the first factory in Korea to go bankrupt, and GM stepped in and saved them and started building the vehicles. The one that you're driving now is
a great little car. But, I love it.
And the answer to your question is, yeah, 5 years is usually the limit on antifreeze, because in the 5 years it's used up most of the anti-foam and lubricants and I don't know how to describe this, but it will conduct electricity as it ages because little bits of metal are getting into it, so it can upset the sensors that are reading the engine. So go 5 years, but and do what, go what back to the original.
Is it still a GM antifreeze I have to use, or...?
I would, yes. There was a problem years ago where the antifreeze and the intake manifold gaskets were not happy.
I had that problem in one of my cars.
Right, exactly. So go back to the Dex, to the, whatever they're using. I forgot what you were saying.
Dextron?
No.
Yeah,
Dextrose. So use that. It's designed for it. It's happy with aluminum. Or you can use Prestone, which goes into almost everything.
Okay, Jack?
Right on.
All right. Thanks for calling in from Barrie. We'll take your calls by later on. We've got some more. We were talking about trucks earlier on, and we've got a call from Marty, a question anyway, about a 2010 Ram 6. He's got a V6 tranny shifting problem. Dave, this one's for you. Good morning, Marty. How are you?
I'm doing good, and I hope you got an answer for me.
Okay. So the question was, is it standard or an automatic?
It's automatic.
And what is it doing?
Okay. At highway speed, it will not shift into the high gear.
It's so it won't go into the overdrive.
RPM.
Okay. Here's two things that you'd have to do. First off, if you're scooting down the highway, touch the brake pedal just slightly. Okay. Just enough, basically, to flip on the brake lights. If you notice a change in RPM, then you probably have a computer issue. And a lot of these trucks, when we had Mr. Transmission as a sponsor, they always advised reflashing the entire driveline. So in other words, reflashing the ECM for the computer for the motor and the BCM for the transmission. So you may have an issue just with a shifting problem. All right. So in other words, they will reflash the computer.
Second problem,
reflash. Yeah. All right. Okay. It's not expensive. And what they'll do is they'll hook up their programmer onto it, reflash it, and then take it for a run and see how it goes. They'll probably tell you that's what it needs.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome.
We're getting a lot of calls today about, Dave, about shifting problems, antifreeze. Like, people getting ready for spring because we're Canadians going, it's not minus 40 anymore.
Well, it's still pretty cold out. You still need to
You have no hair, that's why.
Well, I wear a hat.
That's true.
But, you know, I mean, I've still got my winter tires on both cars. It's so important.
Don't you find it tempting, though, when it gets to be, like, around plus 4? We've had, like, 12 degrees this week. It's like... Do I start taking these things off yet or no? Well,
and then I got caught in a snowstorm and spotted, I don't know, half a dozen cars in the ditch this week. So, you know, this is the time of year when that sort of thing happens.
Okay, we've got a bunch of calls we'll get to before the hour is out. The lines are open, you know all about that. And we've got Greg McPherson coming up shortly from Motorama. We'll give you a chance to win some tickets. And Dave and Brian are in here for the rest of the hour to take your calls about anything you want. Spring maintenance, hanging onto your car for a little bit longer than you normally would, and saving you some money. So stay tuned. This is Canada's number one consumer radio automotive show. Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Take us out, Sebastian. Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We have lots of calls we'll get to guaranteed before the hour is out. Dave, over to you. You want to talk about a few more things.
Yeah, a couple of things we should talk about as you were talking about spring. Even Brian will talk about tires. You know, taking off the summer, put the winter tires and putting on your summer tires. 7 degrees is the magic number. When the ambient temperature, right? So, Brian, go ahead.
That's right. 7 degrees Celsius is that magic number. And just like going into winter, when that temperature gets low, excuse me, rubber gets hard. The tire compound of... pardon me, the rubber tire compound is harder. And, you know, the winter tire compound is meant to work at below 7 degrees Celsius. And, you know, for me, it's so important to run in this climate, winter and summer tires. And that makes a huge difference, especially when you're stopping, which is so important.
And there are services like your servicing garage will actually store your tires for you. And when it's time for a changeover, they'll call you. And you'll walk in and they'll just flip the tires over because you've put them on rims. And it's just an easy changeover. It takes maybe half an hour and away you go again.
Yeah, right? It sure is.
The other thing I was going to talk about was you were saying that this weather was so nice and you put the window down. It's probably the first time in 5-6 months that you have put the window down. And now all of a sudden you're hearing all these different noises and you don't know what it is, so you better go check that out. And at the same time, check out your body work. Most people haven't seen the other side of the car for 6 months. They go drive in, top up, and leave. So look for damage. Look for paint scrapes. Look if it needs to be polished or cleaned. Those are all things you have to do for spring. Vacuum out the interior. Just clean things up.
Dave, you described my afternoon yesterday. I washed one of my cars for the first time all winter, cleaned the interior, and thankfully there was no damage and no additional rust, so I was quite happy.
I mean, that's something that's almost becoming a rarity now, where you can actually wash your car on your driveway, because I know there are certain regions in Ontario where, and cities, that you can no longer wash your car on your driveway. It's just as, excuse me, idiotic as saying kids can't play street hockey.
Oh, absolutely.
It's nuts.
Or go tobogganing. You can't go tobogganing either. My grandkids can't go down the local hill and slide down. It's against the law now.
That's ridiculous. Well, I don't think anything's going to stop me. I'm going to keep washing my cars.
No, you got to keep washing your car. I mean, there were people in our area this week when it hit 12 degrees.
Yep.
Every car that you haven't seen for like 5 or 6 months was out. Guys are in their trucks and having a great time because it was, you get that breath of fresh air in summer and it's here. The patios get open. It's great.
Yep.
We've got one more call, Dave, if you want to take it before we go to break. It's Mike, who has a question about his 2014 Caravan transmission. What's your question, Mike?
So I got this Dodge Caravan and it has about 70,000 kilometers on it. It's fairly new. I've only had it for like 7 months now. But I realized that the transmission, it lags, especially on the highway. So, like, it's on sixth gear, and then when I go to, like, press a little bit of gas, it doesn't climb up right away, the RPM. And go ahead.
I was going to say, what you're saying is it's sluggish or it hesitates?
It hesitates, and then if I floor the gas pedal, then it kicks in, but then it jumps to, like, I guess, like, fourth gear, because then the RPM just goes up to, like, 6,000.
Okay, and I'm going to tell you the same thing I said to, first off, because it said 70,000 kilometers, I would first off suggest a transmission oil change and a filter change.
Yeah.
All right, once that's done and you still have an issue, then it's time for a reflash, and you'll go to the local tranny shop and they'll do that for you. But okay. It doesn't sound that serious. But first off, do an oil change and do a filter change, because it could be that that's your only issue is the filter's plugged.
I actually noticed I took off the cap of the, I opened the hood, I took off that rubber piece that goes on the guard or whatever on the top.
Yeah.
And I noticed actually it's leaking oil, transmission oil, around where the transmission joins to the engine itself.
Oh, so you may have a front seal that's leaking. Was it red in color?
Yeah, it's definitely transmission fluid.
Okay, yeah. I've just been talking definitely do, okay. You've got to visit a tranny shop or your local mechanic. And one piece of advice before you go in, put in a clean piece of paper under the car and let it drip onto that, and that'll tell them exactly what the fluid is and where it is.
I've definitely confirmed that it is transmission fluid.
Mike, whereabouts in Toronto do you live?
BP in Lawrence.
Okay.
Park in Lawrence.
All right, well, you know. Freebie.
There's
here.
Eagle Transmission up the road there, so that guy's my buddy. I'll
okay.
Check him out.
Oh, yeah, definitely, sure. Yeah. Definitely. And it's a simple transmission. It's not expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Thanks for your call, Mike. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Stick around. We have the International Auto Show next weekend. It's going to be hosting a Motorama show. A teeth like yours, Dave. And there's some incredible cars coming out there for that event. If you want to hear more about those cars and your car, stick around. We're going to have Greg McPherson on from Motorama. He'll be coming up next. And also your chance to win tickets for that show. Only from Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Well, I'll tell you, if you like classic-looking cars, if you like new ways of finishing up a car and just gazing at old ones, we have something to tell you about. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and on the line right now is the general manager of Motorama, Greg McPherson. How are you, Greg?
Great. How's it going?
Very good. I get to let you hang over to Dave, and you guys can chat and bring Brian into it, too.
Okay, fantastic.
Greg, good morning. Motorama's been around since the 50s, am I right?
In different incarnations. I smiled earlier in the show when you called it Motion. It made me think back to, you know, Dizzy Dean and some of the old versions.
That's right.
But yeah, it's been Motion, Performance World, Mega Speed, and this will be our fourth year running it, and we call it Motorama.
I still remember in the early days, if you had a painted gas can, that was a big thing. Nowadays, let's talk about this car. This is built by the Ring Brothers. This is really something. It's a Javelin. Tell us about the Ring Brothers.
Yeah, so they're kind of the hottest builders on the circuit now. We were down at the SEMA show, and several of the big corporate booths, these two brothers, Jim and Mike Ring, they're based out of Wisconsin. You know, it's kind of like a couple years ago, like, and for a long time, like, say, a Chip Foose. So, like, everybody knows him. His stuff is the best, most in demand. So we saw we were at the Prestone booth at SEMA, and they unveiled this car, huge crowd around it. It's currently on the cover of Hot Rod magazine. It's at the Detroit Autorama right now this weekend, coming to our show next weekend. It was on Jay Leno's Garage a couple weekends ago. So
Wow. These
guys are kind of the rock stars of the industry right now. And just this past week, we got a great phone call from Prestone saying that they would make this car available to us, built by the Ring Brothers, for the show next weekend. So that's really neat. And adjacent to it, we found out, in the BASF booth, they're bringing the Ring Brothers Pantera, which is another amazing car. So to have a couple cars built by these guys is just stunning, and it's the cherry on top of a really neat lineup. We've got several cars coming from SEMA. And other features, we've got, the Drag Week. People are familiar with that. We've got one of the stars of Street Outlaws, Jeff Lutz, he and a Toronto fella, David Schroeder. They're bringing several of their Drag Week cars, which is this unique competition down in the States.
There you go, Brian. All yours.
So, Greg, how many people are you expecting over the weekend at Motorama?
I think we're pretty close to 30,000 last year with the show. And we've seen growth every year, so we're hoping for even a little better than that, but that would be great. And the size of the show, it's several halls at the International Center. So we're over 300,000 square feet and hoping to get 30,000 people at least again.
Yeah, the show is something else. I've been a couple of times, and it's pretty wild. I mean, there's everything you could imagine there. And, you know, even from my end of the world with, you know, hardcore racing stuff all the way through to, you know, the great stuff like the Ring Brothers
doing. Yeah, I'm the same way with the racing. So our core business throughout the year is we've got motorcycle and car racing magazines like Inside Track Motorsport News. That's kind of our thing where we came from, and how we got into the show business was I think about 10 years ago now, we're thinking. We helped out. We got on side with a show called the Canadian Motorsports Expo, which was a much smaller show sort of just before Speed Weeks at the International Center. We ran that for 6 years. And then we were given the opportunity a couple years ago to take over the traditional spring hot rod custom car show and merge our show into it. So what for us, one of the neatest things about the show is that it's still about 25% motorsports and puts racing and so many series and tracks in the region and racers in front of this huge crowd that we draw.
Greg, do you think they'll ever bring back the Javelin? I guess it's 1972, right?
Yeah.
Do you think they'll ever bring it back? As you know, it's
AMC, so that could be a trick.
Yeah, I think that would be tough. The AMC brand is gone now, but
never know.
Well, I've driven that crazy Dodge Hellcat Demon, that Challenger Demon, the 800 horsepower thing. I have never gone so fast in a straight line before. That thing is
800
amazing.
Horsepower. Yeah. I mean, how do you hang onto the wheel?
Yeah, very carefully.
Built. They even cranked it up more than that. They said this one's got 1,036 horsepower.
So what are the hours for the Motorama show, and where exactly can people go and to get tickets?
Sure. So we're Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 9, 10, and 11. We open every day at 10. We go till 9 on Friday and Saturday and finish up at 5 o'clock on the Sunday.
Fantastic.
And if people want information, motoramashow.com, and there are tickets there as well.
Okay, listen, we really appreciate you calling in. Have a great time next weekend. And Greg's been generous enough to give you, and you out there a chance to win a couple tickets for Motorama. So we'll take the next two callers right now, and you'll get a pair of tickets for Motorama next week at the International Center. Thanks for calling in, Greg. Have a great weekend, man.
Thank you, guys.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. Stick around. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We want to thank everybody who called in. We're flooded now, but tickets are gone. So, don't go away. Stick around. We're around for a few more minutes. And one last kick of the cat for the SO gift card. Go to davescornergarage.com, register, and you got a chance. We'll announce the winner next weekend. In studio, Brian Max, along with Dave Redinger. Go ahead, Davey.
You know, it's funny. We just finished the auto show, which was a fantastic event. Record number of crowds every day. And now we're doing the show for the hot rodders and the racers. And these shows basically start off the season. Everybody comes out of their hibernation and meets, chats, gets ready for the stuff, buys parts, gets introduced to what's new. And it's really an exciting time for everybody. I think the motorcycle show is coming up soon, too. So, I mean, there's so much stuff going on in Toronto. You can go from one to the other. It's really a great time of the year.
And Dave, I do have to say the Toronto Auto Show this year, or the Canadian International Auto Show, was absolutely fantastic. They did such a great job with it this year.
I did a thing for the Toronto Star where they're calling the Auto Intelligence Series, and now they're going to make that a major part of the auto show. So every year from now on, there will be a series of discussions of what people like to see in cars, where we're going with cannabis and all those other things. So there's a lot going on, and if you get into this sort of group, it's an amazing, amazing industry. It really is.
And a lot of the suppliers that were down there that we saw, because we did a show from there, and it was just packed. Volkswagen had a virtual reality booth, and the kids were strapping on these little backpacks, and they're walking through. And you're walking. I put one on, and you're actually walking through with a Volkswagen, and you start driving this thing. And
How cool is that?
It's just amazing. And they were jammed to a certain degree, and there were really good panels. Dave, there was one on ageism about people who are slightly tilting 50-plus are saying, you know, we need to start, could you guys start, and ladies, start designing cars for people who need a little more push getting out of a car once in a while? The reaction to that, Dave, was pretty interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had, I didn't know, but I found out that two-thirds of all the new cars that are purchased by people over 50. And yet, they don't advertise to people over 50. They're all the millennials and whatever who have no money and don't buy cars. So it's an interesting play. So I wanted to talk quickly about in Europe, they're now banning diesels. They've had enough. You remember, I traveled in Europe many years ago, and all the buildings were black and dirty, not like here in our city. And the reason is because the emissions from the diesel vehicles. So now Europe has decided no more diesels. That's coming in a couple of years. So I see a big push for electric cars in Europe.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, diesels come on hard times a little bit. But I mean, if you've ever traveled over there, there's so many diesel cars. And I think people have just got fed up with a lot of the emissions of some of those cars, not all of them. And I think one of the politicians in Rome has gone on record and said they're banning diesel cars in 2025 in Rome.
Well, we drove a small Alfa Romeo for 2 weeks when we were in Italy in September, and diesel was more expensive,
yes,
by a fair amount, but the mileage, I mean, it burned cleaner, but the mileage was incredibly good on these things.
Right, and modern diesels are fantastic, but as you know, as they get older, you know, you still have to maintain them, and I think that's part of the problem. People aren't maintaining them.
Dave, with a diesel engine, all right, is there more or less maintenance when you start getting into seasonality changes?
No, there's hardly any there except for water. They have a couple of filters that you have to change on a regular basis because there's water in the fuel, and in the winter it'll tend to freeze up. The other problem with diesel was it was a hard start in the cold. You used to have glow plugs that would actually warm the air inside the engine so the thing would fire when you turned it over. But now with this computerization and everything else, it doesn't need that efficiency anymore. It just actually does work.
That's right. All these
downside. Yeah, go ahead.
All these modern diesels that I test, there's no warm up at all. You drive them like a conventional car, and you know, some of my favorite cars do have diesel drivetrains.
I think the future will be that it will be electric or gasoline electric. I've talked to people in the industry, and they tell you gasoline is never going to go away.
So you no longer have to, like, when your car's starting up, you don't have to. It used to be you put your foot on the gas and it would rev at a certain RPM, and then you hit it again and it comes down. That was the sign to drive away. You no longer have to even let your car warm up. Isn't that true?
Yep, it's absolutely correct, because the computer adjusts the cycles. It's called duty cycle. The duty cycle means that, say that the injector sprays 100% of the time. Well, when you're warming up, it'll spray probably 80% of the time. When it's actually running efficiently, it'll probably spray 20% of the time. So it's called a duty cycle, and that's how it adjusts the amount of fuel coming in. Because you got to remember, a diesel is not throttled. It's all the speed and everything comes from the amount of fuel you put in it. There's no throttle. It's wide open all the time.
You're right about electrification, though, Dave. What we're seeing now with a lot of new vehicles is mild hybrid technology. For example, the new Jeep Wrangler has a mild hybrid fitted with a four-cylinder. Yeah, and when I tested it, it was really amazing. I want to test it in the real world. I think that might be the way to go with the new Jeep. As well, the Ram that I'm testing next week also has a mild hybrid system. So what it does, there's no more starter on these things. It uses the hybrid system to start the vehicle. And
so there's no button even to push now.
No, there's a start button.
Good.
But there's no starter on the vehicle itself.
Unreal.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff.
I don't know who's going to fix all this stuff in the future.
That's you,
That's
Dave.
That's the problem.
That's you.
Dave, there's a brand new course opening up that you can get online. You can try it.
What's
no?
it called?
I don't know.
I'm not asking.
Listen, we want to thank Greg McPherson from Motorama for joining us and everybody who won the tickets. We thank him for kicking those out to us. Don't forget, Motorama is coming up next weekend, March 9th to the 11th at the Toronto International Centre. Brian, what's the website people can go to catch more information about what you're up to?
I'm all over the internet. It's Brian with an I, and my last name is spelled M-A-K-S-E.
Vroom, vroom, vroom.
That's right.
So what do you got planned for the rest of the weekend, Dave? You going to wash your car or what?
You know what? I'm going to do nothing. I think I've deserved that. All the shows we've been doing, I just want to do nothing. This is a veg.
Well, it's
Anyways,
a weekend.
It's been great. Yep.
It's a weekend. Listen, thanks everybody for tuning in. Next weekend, we're going to have Jeff Coy in from Land Insurance. So have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye. Sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.